Pearson and Falls. I want to bring this up here, so if anybody wants to follow along. I pray God is blessing you today. He's been good to you. Would you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Well, welcome to Church in the Falls. Welcome in person. Welcome online, wherever you may be coming from. Church in the Falls is a family anyone can belong to. And we don't say that lightly. We understand that we all have different opinions and we disagree on things, both politically and spiritually, and that's okay. Because here, something reigns supreme over that. First and foremost, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us. That's where we take our marching orders. His word that constantly reminds us to love one another and to reach out and connect. And these are the things that we believe in. And that is why it's a family anyone can belong to. Because when you come sit at the table with Jesus, everything changes just a little bit. You know, every year I expect a different New Year's celebration. And every year they just keep dropping the ball. And I'm not sure if every year when we revision our mission and our focus here at Church in the Falls, I hope that you don't experience it that way. We try to take a little different approach, but I think it's so important, especially early on, as we are outlining what Church in the Falls is about. And there's always new faces every year that may not have been exposed to these things. And I think it's good for all of us to just be reminded, this is what we're all about. This is something we need to take our energies and put it into. And so I want to do some of that over the next few weeks and just remind us. And there's always some new elements. Last year we introduced an entire new vision, which was a pretty big deal. We'll revisit that. We have some new initiatives, some new ideas this year coming. We're going to begin presenting some of those as well. But today I want to start with kind of a revisioning of what it's all about to be a part of Church in the Falls. Our mission and our vision, specifically our mission and our belief system, they align, and I want to kind of blend the two together. But I want to give you a truth that is pretty deep. And this is it. Wherever you are, that's where you're at. I want you to think about that for a minute. Wherever you are, that's where you're at. And that's also, here's the good news, exactly where God is running to. If you feel broken and worn out, God is on His way. If you're feeling kind of on cloud nine, like for the first time you got some things together, God is walking right there with you. And He's celebrating with you. He calls us to be sad with those who are sad and to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. I sense that He does the same thing as a person who cares about us. So wherever you're at, that's where you're at. Because God is there joining with you. I think that simple concept allows us to walk into these principles with a clean slate. We looked at 2020 and we saw a lot. 2020 was a hard year. And 2021 has not turned out to be any lighter yet. But there's a lot that can be seen clearly in that pain, in that frustration. And my hope is in 2021, we can begin transitioning from seeing clearly to beginning to act different and understand. Because we're a family that anyone can belong to, and we say here at Church in the Falls that it is okay to be what? Not okay. Because that's where you're at, and that's where God is running towards. But it's also not okay to stay not okay. God has something better for you. And so we want to live in that tension of this is just who I am and my brokenness. And you know what? I want to do something about it. Tomorrow is a new day. And I want to take a step forward, a baby step. I'm going to work on this thing. I'm going to submit this part of my life that I've been hanging on to. And it doesn't mean everything changes overnight, but it does mean we take steps forward. And I'm hoping that 2021 can be a little bit in that direction. Maybe in some strongholds in your life. Maybe even as a church and as a body. Some of the things that we're going to try to do this year. I hope we'll put feet on what we're trying to do as living Christian examples of what God is all about. What I want to do today, I want to combine two elements of our mission and three of the six parts of our belief system. And we're going to do the last three. And remember, belief is B-E-L-I-E-F, right? We're going to look at I-E-F today because they correspond with two of our four E's. We are embracing God, right? We are encouraging others. We are equipping the church to engage the world. Those are the four E's. That's the stuff that we're going to do conceptually in order to get to our vision of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and making Him known. That's what we're doing. And some of the ways that we do that is connected with our belief system. But two of those E's are really concept ideas, and the other two are much more action-oriented. So I'm going to split them up and look this week at the IEF with two, embrace and equip. And then next week we'll look at encourage and engage with the BEL. And hopefully that'll make more sense as you go through it. But this is just a way of wrapping our mind around what it means to be a follower of Christ, especially here at Church in the Falls. Now, if you look at our mission, embrace God has kind of an upward direction. It's a submission and understanding who God is. It's a looking up. I'm embracing God. He is saying, I want you to be mine. And you're saying, okay. That's what embracing God is all about. It's an upward direction. If you think about directionally the other three E's, embracing God is up, and then encouraging others is kind of in. That's very church focused. It's the group we have here. That's loving one another. That is our life groups. That's connection. It's feeding the body and growing the body and helping each other out. And then equip, I say, would be a through direction. Through is the idea of having ourselves be a clean pathway so that God can bless through you to each other. God can bless through our church to the world. And it's about keeping that clean and prepared. And then the last one, the idea of engaging the world is out. And that is where we don't just keep this stuff here. We go out with it. We're going to look at those two next week. Today, I want to look specifically at embracing God, the up direction, and equipping the church, the through direction, in connection with the IEF. All right, everybody tracking with me so far? All right. I know these are concepts, but I think the reason it's so important to keep revisiting them is because it gets them grounded into who we are. And to help you with that, especially with the belief system, if you don't have a bracelet, get a bracelet, all right? We have a box back in the corner. Brent's waving it around right there. These are a little simple of all the different parts that we're going to be talking about, the BELIEF. I have these every year, so please take one if you don't have one. It'll remind you of what we're all about, and it's a great conversation starter. If anybody ever sees it and is like, oh, that's cool, what is that? There you go. You've just opened the door to, oh, this is something my church is doing, this is something I'm trying to live by, oh, this is what it stands for. You can take any approach you want, and God will bless it and use it. All right, so let's dive in. If we think about the idea of embracing God as submission, if we think about equipping as preparation, if you will, getting the pathway clear so that God can send blessings through you to each other and to the world, those two things are conceptual. It's less about what we do and more about the intent behind what we do. So in our belief system, BEL, remember, is behaviors, and IEF is attitudes. It's more the position of the heart. So that's why we're connecting these two with embracing and equipping, because I think they correspond quite well. In Romans 15, we read this. Our God is a God who strengthens and encourages you. May He give you the same attitude. That's the Beatitudes, right? The attitude towards one another that Christ Jesus had. Then, you can give glory to God with one mind and one voice. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has accepted you. So accept one another in order to bring praise to God. This whole connection with one another, this idea of being available and helpful, it's a mindset more than it is what we do. You can head out to help someone in the poor and never get there, but if the heart is leaning towards doing something, that is what this is about. It's an attitude of Christ Jesus. And I think that is such a big understanding. If we have our attitude right, then the behaviors we do will follow second. Even though it's the first part of the word belief, it's really about the preparation. So the first one we're going to look at today is this one. I'm going to go ahead and turn the lights on. You guys go, ooh, right? All right, here we go. Imitate. Imitation. Now, all of these are an acronym. Imitation stands for this. The I am is I'm. I'm investigating theological answers through experience. See, this is different. We don't want to just know about God up here, right? We don't want to just say, okay, everything happens for a reason. That's a platitude, right? That's a knowledge. It might be true. It's irrelevant to real life, though. If you've not experienced God doing something and you didn't know there was a reason and then you discovered there was and you're like, wow, God put a reason even in that. Everything must have a reason. You see how that's different than someone saying to someone else, hey, everything happens for a reason. Imitation of Christ is that. It's I'm investigating these theological ideas, these answers that I keep hearing, but I'm doing it through experience. Here's what it looks like. When someone punches you on the right cheek and you turn to them the left, you're experiencing something more than knowing, right? It's not intellectual anymore. It's an experience. And when you say, God, forgive them for they just don't know what they're doing, for a brief moment, you're experiencing Christ. You're understanding Him. The teachings of Christ are less about some knowledge of look at that great guy back there and more about how do I live in my world. I'm imitating Christ. And that's what that stands for. It's about the heart. It's not so much what we do. It's a matter of why we do it. And it is critical that we investigate these theological answers that we talk about every week on Sunday. One of the bad raps the church gets is that we have all the answers and none of the behavior. It's not okay to stay not okay. We have to start changing how we live. That means we've got to get along with people that are different than us. We've got to swallow our pride. We've got to forgive. We've got to do the hard things. That's the only way we can experience God. And again, if the attitude is right, God will provide the opportunity and it'll all work out fine. But the attitude, we have to go in with the imitation attitude. This is what I'm here to do. I don't want to just know God in my brain. I want to experience Him. I want to imitate Christ. That's a real important one of the whole set, to really understand what's really going on. You know, Jesus, the red letters of John, are in 1:38 and at the very end, 21, 22, and 23. Those red letters at the bookends of the Gospel of John are both the same idea. Jesus says, follow me. That's not an intellectual knowledge. That is I want you to go do what I do. I'm going to do this first and you're going to come right behind me and you're going to imitate me. You're going to do the same thing I do. Follow me. We could spend years on just this concept. Wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Jesus says, it's only through experience that we fully understand. In 1 John 2:6, the Message version says this, anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. In other words, to be intimate with God, which is the embracing God part, track it with me, right? In order to be intimate with God, we have to imitate who? Jesus. What did Jesus do? He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or hung on to. What did He do? He emptied Himself, poured Himself into the form of a human. He lowered Himself, became a servant, a slave. He took punishment, took abuse, even death on a cross, Philippians 2 says. This is the mindset of Christ. This is imitation of Christ. In Philippians 2, I just referenced it. Your attitude should be, your be attitude, the same as that of Christ Jesus. Paul says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. That's tough love. That's the stuff that we have to do, that we have to work towards. I heard someone say a few years ago, I think it was really well said, Jesus didn't send us into the world to make decisions, but to make disciples. And you can't make a disciple if you're not a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? someone who does what the master does. It's a follower, an imitator of the master. Do what I do. Only a disciple can make a disciple. I think Paul says it best in Philippians 3. Listen to what he says here. This captures this whole idea. I want to know him inside and out. Talking about Jesus. I want to experience the power of his resurrection and join in his suffering. And I want to be shaped by his death. You see how that is not just what we're doing, right? We can be shaped by the death of Christ doing the same job we do every day. It's not about the doing. It's about the attitude. Are we imitating Christ in our movements, or are we deciding just to do our own thing? And it's all about how we embrace God. And that is the way that we are equipped, is that we set ourselves up for this. The second one is our elevator talk. Now this one is functional in one sense, of course. But what I want you to take from this is preparation. How long do you have in an elevator ride typically? 30 to 60 seconds, right? You need to be prepared. That's equipped. You need to be prepared to communicate something in a very short amount of time, like an elevator ride. Elevator, in this case, stands for expressing life experiences that we got by imitating Christ, all right? Expressing those life experiences very abbreviatedly, because it's an elevator ride. But here's the purpose: to offer reason. That is our goal. We need someone to go, what is wrong with you? You're weird. You're different. And then we have an answer in a short form. Now, this is not a platitude. We don't want to hear that. We want to know what God has done in your life. And we need to be connected to that. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but make sure that in your hearts, that's attitude right there, you honor Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you about the hope you have. Be ready to give, and here's the point, the reason for it. We got to offer reason for the strange choices we make, because people will notice. You're at work, people treat you badly, and you come back and bring donuts the next day. And people look at you like, why would you do that? He just messed with you and you brought donuts. Why did you do that? What's wrong with you is what they're thinking, right? And then you need to say, well, see, what I've been learning as I follow God is that sometimes a little kindness is what's needed in a tense situation. It's like, oh. Suddenly they know something about you because of your quick elevator talk. You expressed your experiences of life with God in a very short form in a way that offers them a reason for the hope you have. Are you tracking with me? Again, simple idea, but I want us to grab a hold of this because we have to be prepared for this. This doesn't just happen. God sets up the divine appointments. Acts 17, God began by making one man, and from him he made all the different people of the world who live everywhere. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. He decided exactly when and where they should live. And God wanted people to look for him, and perhaps in searching all around they would find him, but he's not far from any of us. God set the whole thing up to give you the best chance to find him. So the people you work with, those in your family, they're looking for God and they don't even know it. And God is setting it up and he's using you to do it. So you had got to have yourself ready. That's why equipping is a part. It's not about knowing all the book, chapter, and verse. It's about looking at what God has done in your experiences and have a reason why. This is what I learned in that hard time. This is what God taught me in 2020. See how relevant this is right here. What did you learn? Because that is one of the great ways God can teach. Colossians 4. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It's about preparation. Now, I've mentioned before, I think there's four big categories that we can find these elevator stories in. And they're kind of two opposites. On one hand, you got things that happen to you, pain, right? Then you got things that you create, like worry. Those are the two spectrums. So you're like, oh no, I'm concerned about worry, or it just happens to you. Something's taken or you're in pain. Something comes upon you. So those are the two spectrums there of worry and pain. The other side would be guilt and entitlement. Entitlement is, I need this and I don't know what to do about it. There's a need, a genuine, and you think you deserve it. You're entitled to have food and clothing, and these are things I need, right? And the other side is, I don't deserve anything. I deserve punishment. I'm guilty. I'm a bad guy. We think these kind of things. Those are your two poles. If you put those four together, you've experienced God in those four pretty well. I'd like to put a little chart together. Go ahead and put the next one. It's just kind of a visual. Like, for example, if you're worried and guilty, right? I just deserve this because I keep messing up and I'm worried that God is upset with me, right? That's the natural thinking. Well, look at that. Romans 8, just one of many. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we could take that, and that is the reason. Why do you have joy today when you were just worried and guilty yesterday? You made a mistake. Guess what? There's no condemnation with Christ Jesus. That's why I don't feel guilty. Or that's why I'm trying to gently work through that guilt, more likely. Or on the other side, let's say you're worried about things because you feel like, I need these things and I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to pay the bills, right? This is something you're expecting. You're entitled to it in a sense. And you're worried about where it's going to cover. Well, Matthew 6, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat, Jesus says, right? Look at the lilies of the field, and aren't you worth more than them? Don't worry. These are things you need. God knows you need them. This is a passage you can take to give a reason for the hope you have because of what God has said. Or maybe in this other category, let's say you're feeling something about entitlement and what you deserve and need, and you're in pain. And you're not sure, I just keep messing up and I keep getting broken. Something's wrong with me, right? I need to act better. I love this one. Psalms 3, 5, and 6. Don't depend on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge who? The Lord. And He will make your path straight. There's a lot of confidence in it. I can rejoice today because I know that. I've learned it. I've studied it. But now I want to experience it. And I want to tell someone about it. One liner. How is it that you're feeling these things? Well, here's what God has told me, not to worry about it, but to just lay it out there and He would make my path straight. He'll clean this up. He'll straighten it out. I'm just trusting Him for one more day. Or maybe on the other category here, you're guilty of something. You feel that guilt. You feel worthless. I'm broken. I can't believe I did it again. And you're in pain because it's all coming down on you. And I probably deserve this, you're thinking. You go to Psalms 51. Against You, O Lord, have I sinned. Blot out my transgression. Remember David? Whole psalm is just a purging of, woe is me, I'm hurting and I'm overwhelmed and I deserve it, but God, please don't hold it against me. Don't take Your Holy Spirit from me. And then I will rejoice, David says at the end. Just some examples. There's a myriad. One-liners, thoughts that you have in your mind. They're not platitudes. They're experiences with God in which you've worked through, wrestled through, struggled with, seen a 2020 lifestyle and went, oh my goodness, but God was still there. And this is what He said, and I believe it, and you know what? I'm beginning to experience it. That is the hope. That is the reason for the hope that you have in you. And that is what God is calling us to be ready to talk about. So I want to ask you, if you were in an elevator and there was a situation that related to any of these categories, and many other varieties. These are just big ideas, okay? I'm just giving you something to grab hold of. Would you be ready to say, yeah, you know what? I had a situation like that, and here's what I learned from God. Here's what God taught me through that. That was really hard, but you all have the stories. Are you prepared? That's what equipping is about. It's getting that pathway clear so that when it comes in, it flows through. Because here's what normally happens. You're in the elevator, and you're on your phone. And someone's struggling, having a moment. And they say, how are you so calm? Huh? Oh, I don't know. I just try to wake up and have a good attitude. Boy, that's a great comment, but you just missed an amazing moment. I'm not really very calm most of the time. I'm having a hard time. 2020 was a stinky year, but you know what? God was with me in spite of me. You see how much more power that is. You didn't get all preachy. You didn't have to book chapter verse it. You just said, I don't always have the right answers. In fact, most of the time I don't. But you know what I do know? God seems to always show up. He's never there when I want him, but he's always right on time. And someone will be like, huh. It's just going to mind, bing. And there's just something they have to think about now. And they look at you differently. And then they have another problem. And guess who they come to ask for prayer? I'm not really a praying person, but would you mind praying for my... And you're like, absolutely. And then you call them the next day. Hey, I'm still praying for you. How's it going? Well, it's getting really good or it's getting really bad. You see how easy that is, right? That is not you book chapter versing it. That is you experiencing God, imitating Jesus through hard decisions. And then being ready to talk about it, to offer the reason for your hope. It's an attitude thing. It's about being prepared. That is part of our mission at Church in the Falls. To embrace God with all that it brings. And to be equipped for God to pass his blessings through us in many unique ways. The last one, the sixth one, is a focal point. Which is a follower... I got to get the right pressure here. Follower of Christ at large, pointing to God. Follower of Christ at large, pointing to God. A focal point. You're like a zeroed in place. You're a beacon of light. You're salt, right? You're the thing that people notice because you know it too. Here's the thing. This means you can't have an ichthus on the back of your car, cut someone off and flip them off in traffic. Why? You just defamed the name of Jesus and you didn't even realize it. It's not that you're not going to make mistakes like that. We all do that stupid kind of stuff. We make mistakes. That's not the point. It's not about doing here. It's about attitude. It's about I'm going out into the world and people are going to see me. And they've heard my elevator talk and I've experienced God and I've offered some reasons for my hope. And I'm in conflict because I don't have it all together. I better be ready. I got to get prayed up, thought up. We have a fast coming up. It's perfect for this. It's a way of pausing and saying, okay, God, I'm a follower of Christ at large. People are going to see me. I need to be ready. I need the right attitude. I need to know my story. What have I learned in 2020? What did I learn in that awful time in my life 5, 10, 12 years ago? What about that time when I was sick? What about the time when my kid or my husband or my wife, right? Think about those things during the fast. Think about those things during your prayer time. That's what this is. It's about an attitude. Having the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who comes to serve and to give. Followers of Christ at large, pointing to God. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3 says this. But you, Paul says to the church there, are our letter. You are in our hearts for everyone to read and understand. You are like a letter written by Christ and delivered by us. That is beautiful visual of what we're talking about. But you're not written with pen and ink or on tablets made of stone. You are written in our hearts by the Spirit of the living God. That is an attitude, right? You're out doing things and you're expressing to the world how much God loves them. How God spoke through us who speaks through you. We are a focal point for God. All the more reason when we cut someone off and flip them off, we should follow them and say, look, I'm sorry. I'm having a bad day. God is faithful to me. He will forgive me, but I want to make sure you will forgive me too. Bam! Elevator story, right? You just blew the top off. Someone's not going to know what to do with that. Think about that. How would people react if you were like that? Not perfect, but just honest. That's the attitude that we need to be. That is our beatitudes. It's a place in the heart that submits, that embraces God, and clears the pathway to equip us for God to use us. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 through 17. God also helps us spread the knowledge about Christ everywhere. And this is how he does it. And this knowledge is like the smell of perfume. See, that's not intellectual, is it? That's an experience. There's a funny video. I should have brought it today. I'll bring it next week. Where the pastor's walking down in the church. Ooh, the church organ's going. And he's walking. And as he kind of goes by with the robes behind him, everybody goes, oh, they're smelling his cologne. And they're like, pew.
the name of the club.
It's hysterical. Love it, right? And they all walk in, and it's just like this elegant commercial about pew. It's the aroma, right? It's some of the smell. But that's what it is, an experience of God. That is what we are in this world. We're an experience of God. And that doesn't mean because we have it all together. Let me really be clear about that. It's kind of because we don't have it together, but we're honest about it. That's what's really different. I'm tore up from the floor up, and God is good still to me. That's interesting to people. Not, yes, God saved me from all my stuff, and I got it together now. And if you want to be like me, I can show you how to do it. Who would respond to such an invitation? I wouldn't. I would be like, you got to get out of my house right now. But if you came to me and said, look, I am tore up from the floor, but I'm a little bit better this year than I was last year. 2020 taught me some stuff, and I'm learning, and I'm trying to stifle these thoughts, and I'm trying to wrestle with these things. I'm trying to get to the point of why I feel so this way and that way. And I'm just trying to be honest, and God is still faithful. He still loves me. I got a home in heaven, even in spite of all that I do. Because it's not based on what I do. It's based on what He did. And He was perfect. Oh, I'm so glad for Jesus. I need to tell you about Him. Now, how would you respond to that invitation? That's pretty preachy, and yet it's still kind of attractive, right? You mean I can be tore up from the floor? I can be messed up? I can have problems and stressors and sin, and I can be wrestling with what's right and wrong and true and false, and God still loves me? Yes, He does. Desperately. Because wherever you are, that's where you're at, and that's where God's running to. And that is good news, and that is what the gospel is all about. In fact, God thinks of us as a perfume that brings Christ to everyone. It's an experience. And of course, my favorite, another one of my favorite of all time passages, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We've looked at this recently, just a little bit. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. Comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Remember, we both simultaneously reflect God's glory, that holy love. It's an experiential understanding of God. And we're also blocking. That block is really important. It's only when we can acknowledge the reality of this world, both it's broken and it's good, that it really makes sense who God is. Why do we need hope if we already have it? It's in the shadow mixed with the reflection that it makes sense that we need God. And it makes sense that God loves us. And it fills our heart with joy because we really need Him. Because we have all this going on. That is the difference. Our attitude. It's not about what we do. You don't have to do anything for these to be effective. You're just positioning yourself before God. You're embracing Him. You're saying, God, I will follow You wherever You take me. I'm Yours because I want what You have. I want eternity. I want life. I want heaven. I want communion with the people of God in heaven and the angels. I want that. I want to be a part of that. And I'm just going to give it all down. I'm going to lay my life down. That's why baptism is described as a death. The old person dies, a new person is resurrected. And there's a process of transformation that will happen over time. Followers of Christ at large, we're being focused on. See, we are reaching up, and God is reaching through us as we reach up. That is what embracing God and being equipped is about. I think sometimes we think in our minds, well, I want to be equipped. It means I need to know book, chapter, and verse. Very important things, okay? Don't hear me. We're people of the book, all right? But just the fact that you could speak a passage into a situation is probably like 2% helpful. What's really helpful is the experience. Let me take you on a mental journey. Think about the last time you were at a funeral of someone that you loved, a dear person. Maybe some of you have not experienced that, but most of you have in one form or another. Do you remember what was said by the people who visited you in most cases? Or do you remember that they were there? There's a big difference, isn't there? Words are cheap. But the fact that someone showed up, it's just, it burns in your mind. There's something different about it. It's an experience, right? That is what it's all about. The fact that you might have a particular verse that might help someone, it would be a bonus. And I highly encourage that, okay? There are moments that you can really bless someone with just the right word. But what is more valuable, infinitely more valuable, the other 98% of this, is when you're present, you're calm, you're real, you're loving, you're compassionate, and even better than that, you understand. I've been here too. And this hurts. Can we all just say 2020 was hard? We gotta go, oh man, yes it was. There's something healing about that. Just understanding that we're all in this together. I love that old phrase. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who can save anybody. It's a simple understanding of what it's all about. All right, so this week we have the IEF, the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes that we should be, right? We're imitating Christ. I'm investigating theological answers through what? Experience. And then we're going to take those experiences and we're going to express those life experiences very abbreviated. This is short stuff to offer reason for the hope we have. Got to be ready for that. And then lastly, we always realize that we're always on. We're a follower of Christ at large, pointing to God. At all times, we always have to be ready. Again, not perfect here, but understanding that we're being seen as a representation of God. Therefore, when we hold our shadow side and our reflection up and we say, man, I wish I could get rid of some of that shadow side, people can relate to that because that's what it really is. It's that honesty, not that I don't have something wrong with me, but that I know what it is and I know how to deal with it. That is our Beatitudes. That is how we embrace God and allow ourselves to be equipped for God to bless the world through us. Next week, we'll look at the three behaviors that we're going to do with the right attitude, and we'll look at our other two E's. Join with me. We're going to pray, and when I'm done praying, we're going to have a closing song. If there's a way that we can encourage you today, especially in this new year, we really want to do that. You can reach out to us via email or via the text. In our phones, they're on your bulletin there, or you can reach us right after the service, right during the song. You can go back to the prayer room, and we'll have somebody to receive you there as well. If you join with me, let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for your grace and your mercy. We're grateful that Jesus showed us the attitude that we should have, that he gave it all up, that he humbled himself. He submitted to things that he didn't want to do out of respect for you and love for you and love for us. Father, we want the same attitude. We want to imitate Christ in that way. We want to do things that matter in this world because we are humbled and submissive to your will. That is what we want to do. Help us to embrace you that way, Lord. Father, equip us. Clean us out in a way that allows your truth to come through our experiences in our life. God, we praise you, we love you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.